Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 773. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Shahid. What is up, good sir?
Nothing much. I'm glad I checked my Twitter and you reminded me we had a show because I made my weeknight available to you and they forgot. So it's just maybe it's time for me to retire. But in the meantime, normally like on the show is because of Roman Reigns promo, but in this case, well, Roman Reigns did have a nice promo, but we have more important things to talk about.
It's historic. It's been a while since Roman Reigns has had that classic Kevin and Shahid terrible promo. Like, but that was a running gag for approximately 2 years.
Yes, Roman and the Magic Beanstalk. Suffering succotash is, boy, just thinking about how much time has gone by since then to see him now basically getting serenaded by Madison Square Garden for being so awesome. But speaking of awesome, they announced WrestleMania for not 2023, but 2024. They did it kind of early. And I guess they've been doing stuff early because WrestleMania packages are already on sale now for next year. And it's not even August yet.
I would think, at least especially for you, the kicker is the location this time.
Yes, Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, home place of ECW. They're having WrestleMania in a northeastern city in April. I guess they assume that global warming will take care of any potential cold or rainy weather that's happening because I have been to WrestleMania in northeastern cities, and I will never do that again.
Being in the hometown isn't talking you into it?
Oh, yeah, let me finish. I said normally I wouldn't. I was saying I wouldn't do it again. But since it's in Philly, I guess I'm doing it again. against my better judgment, because it is my hometown, and I always wonder if Philly would get a WrestleMania. Once they moved the stadium shows, I was like, man, I doubt it. Even though they did New York, but the fact that they did New York, I guess they was like, we might as well do Philly. And Philly, you know, I'm assuming they're going to have it in Lincoln Financial Field.
I would assume.
And that's a stadium that is easy to get to with public transportation. But you have to know how to use public transportation. I'm not going to bother even trying to drive down there. I know I use public transportation. So that part's easy. Philly is a great place to go for tourist attractions. I have family there, but I doubt I'll be seeing any of them because I'm not there to see family. I'm there to see wrestling. It's just a funny thing. It's like planning for something that's basically 2 years from now. It's just weird. Like, it's just making an assumption that I'm going to like wrestling 2 years from now.
What if Paul Levesque really disappoints you and runs the product into the ground in the next 2 years? Are you going to be ready for WrestleMania in Philly?
I sincerely doubt that because it's kind of like seeing him in power. He's done a good job and he's basically kind of like, I'm a mark for the business in a good way. So.
Oh.
That part I'm not worried about. It's just wrestling. Just like I'm not one of those. Oh, I'm not a CM Punk acolyte. Like WWE would be better if Vince is dead, but that doofus Triple H and Stephanie's still gonna run the show. That does this dumb. I'm like, no, they're capable hands. And Nick Khan seems to be a very astute businessman. Who knows? I might go there and The Rock will be in WrestleMania 40 because his buddy asked him to go. So we'll see.
Yeah. Will we have Roman Reigns during that WrestleMania still?
I sincerely doubt it. Seems like he's there for a good time and not for a long time. Like he may be done after next year's Mania. He might be busy doing Hollywood.
He should be, honestly, at this point. I'm almost surprised he hasn't had more bites because, he really did not have a whole lot to do in Hobbs and Shaw.
Nah, it seemed like that was more like kind of like relax while you're dealing with chemo and just dip your toe in it, because that was a role for Jason Momoa initially, but he has scheduling conflicts.
Oh.
So, and it's ironic considering Jason Momoa is going to be the next Fast and Furious movie. So, look, you don't get new teeth nothing when you're a professional wrestler. That was not the smile on SmackDown. In a brand new mouth. That was done for a reason.
What? It wasn't so just for the WrestleMania posters?
Normally heels don't smile anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, he is not smiling in any of his promo pictures, I don't think.
No. Unless he's laughing at Jimmy or Jay, he's not smiling. actually, he's been smiling lately laughing at Theory. We'll get to that later. Would you go to Mania in Philadelphia?
You know, funny enough, I have never been to Philadelphia, and that is on the list of places that I'd like to go. Definitely a bit of a foodie town, so that is a positive thing for me. And I've had quite a few beers from the Philly region also. Most of the time when I'm in Altoona is when I get those. So yeah, there's some interesting breweries out there. Yeah, like it is definitely more of a travel thing for me, is whether I'm it's less about the wrestling and more about meeting up with people and doing stuff wherever I go. Like, it really has turned into like a vacation for me with wrestling.
Food and beer.
Yep.
When in doubt.
Boom. Yep, it's not hard. Because it's not like L.A., I definitely, like, the architecture nerd in me definitely wants to go see the stadium there from that perspective. There's other stuff in Philadelphia that is interesting from that perspective also that I'm sure I'd love to check out that might not quite be the norm of what people are checking out.
So, I mean, I guess that's settled. Randy will be representing Philadelphia. So.
Yeah, I think so. I just have to talk the wife into it, but I think that'd be okay. Especially because I don't think, L.A. is this coming year, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, so I don't actually think I'm going to... I think we have other plans kind of already in motion that are going to not allow us to go to L.A. and check that out. But... I would be shocked if they don't go back to L.A. at some juncture anyway, so it's not that big of a loss to miss this one, per se. And, yeah, Philly sounds like a good timing.
I was going to go to Dallas, but I didn't check the schedule, and WrestleMania weekend was the same weekend that Ramadan started, and fasting during WrestleMania weekend. No, I was looking forward to doing, so I didn't go. You know, which would have been a 2-hour drive. I'm probably doing Los Angeles, and I'll definitely be doing Philly. And one of the reasons I probably do Los Angeles, because one is Los Angeles, two, probably nice to hang out, and three, we can get to the most important thing, is because WWE is in a new direction. And it was funny, like, you knew this was kind of coming. Once the story first started, that Vince was basically using hush money to pay off women he should have been dealing with. But I think people are just kind of saying, you know, he's still going to be running the show. It doesn't matter. It's just kind of like, you know, him being CEO or not being CEO was just window dressing. Once it came out that, one, he's retiring, and two, Triple H will be head of creative. All of that, it doesn't matter, out the window. I remember tweeting saying, as long as I've been watching WWE, Vince McMahon has been running WWF, WWE. I have no idea what that looks like without him being in charge. I'm very curious to find out what it looks like without him being in charge. Because to be perfectly honest, I didn't think I would ever see that. I stopped watching wrestling before he gave it up. Because I figured he would die first before retiring. I never thought about him getting put out more or less.
Yeah, I was definitely ready for still a longer hold of Vince McMahon on the product than we've now gotten at this point. Like, yeah, it's going to be interesting here the next couple of years to see what does end up happening. Because, I mean, I guess it's one of those things that even when Triple H was running NXT, like, did he have some level of restraint? Or, did Vince still check him about certain things in that situation that maybe
No.
changed the complete vision of everything?
I mean, just watching NXT and just seeing who he pushed, I figured like I'll probably see. I'm sure he was aware. Like, I doubt he was like, I don't know what's going on, because he was definitely aware of what was on NXT. But you can tell NXT looked completely different when Triple H was in charge to when he wasn't in charge. And it's kind of like, if Vince McMahon didn't want Timothy Thatcher working, Timothy Thatcher would not be working. And you know how I know? Because once Triple H was gone, Timothy Thatcher no longer had a job. So, and you hear a lot of talk basically saying, like, it's a lot of people who say, had Triple H stayed, had Triple H been in charge, they wouldn't have left. And I'm sure there's plenty of people at AEW who's kind of looking at that, like, when their contract run out, they're going back to WWE. Because Triple H proved where that whole size and look stigma does not apply. If you can work, that's all he cares about. Like, if you can perform, you're going to get a chance. That's his main thing.
Yeah, there's got to be a lot of people that are happy about the change. I would
Yeah, let me put
suspect.
it this way. If Triple H was in charge, Adam Cole would have never left. Because I'm sure Adam Cole would have felt he would have got a fair shot on the main roster if Triple H was running things.
Oh. Definitely. I mean, Adam Cole at least presented well. I still think that at some juncture he would have run into a size problem situation.
I mean, everybody run a size problem if it's a problem. I'm like, Cody Rhodes isn't that much bigger than Adam Cole, and they treat Cody Rhodes like a big deal because they decide that they wanted to be a big deal. If they didn't, they could have plenty of excuses because they could just say he's not big enough, but they don't care, so it's not a problem.
Cody did at least pack on some muscle. Adam Cole.
Hey, no, do some. Adam Cole needs to stop eating whatever his girlfriend is eating and, like, eat some biscuits. Eat some biscuits and do some push. But it's a funny thing where there was an exodus of people who left WWE because
Oh.
once Triple H wasn't there, they didn't fit the demographic. They didn't fit the look that WWE and, like, Vince pushes. Now it's not an issue anymore. And AEW is at a point where they only have so many slots for so many people. And sooner or later, it's kind of like,
Oh.
I could be mid-card on AEW, or I could be mid-card in WWE, or above mid-card. And we'll see. Like, William Regal had left if Triple H was in charge? No. But Bryan Danielson left if Triple H was in charge? No. Like, it's some people that would have left regardless. But there's a lot of people that basically left because it's kind of like, I see the writing on the wall. I know it's only so far I can go. I'm gonna hit that glass ceiling is a lot shorter now. So what? That glass ceiling for a lot of people does not exist. Consequently, if you're certain people, like if I look at the Nikita Lyons, for example, and I'm like, I don't know. Maybe not. So.
She's a
Like some
curious
people that's getting
one.
back, because it's like she's pushed for a certain demographic, but that demographic doesn't like her like they used to. And I don't know. Like, she definitely has talent, and she's definitely young enough to get it. But it's kind of like, I don't know if she's the type of performer that Triple H would lean toward. Shawn Michaels definitely does, because that's why he getting pushed. Somebody like Tiffany Stratton, she going to the damn moon. That's it didn't matter who's in charge. She's somebody where it's like she basically, if you design a WWE superstar in a lab, you get something like her. Ooh. So it doesn't matter who's running the show, she's gonna make it.
Yeah, and I guess it is kind of interesting, just because the WWE has recruited a lot more, you know, specifically ex-athletes to kind of develop. It's kind of funny how, yeah, the athletic background helps, but it doesn't always solve all of the problems, and doesn't necessarily translate as easy as some people like. Even like Ronda Rousey makes it seem like, Nikita Lyons has at least some type of martial arts background.
Yeah, like, you can tell she's an athlete. She's just kind of like Barry Windham style athlete, where she may not necessarily look like an athlete, but she moves like somehow her size that moves like she moves is athletic. Yeah. Oh. Normally, if she wasn't, she would not be moving that way. And it's the same thing. I call like Barry Windham athletes, where it's like if they weren't athletic, they wouldn't be doing the stuff they were doing. Tiffany Stratton, you see, is like, you know, she's a gymnast that's also a power lifter. So she has the power, but unlike Mandy Rose, she also has agility, because it's kind of like Mandy Rose has an athletic background, but it's more like I lift weights. So she wrestles like King Kong Bundy. She just happens to look the way she looks. So
I'm trying to picture her as King Kong Bundy now. That is quite a look.
I always made the joke about Mandy Rose, like, she looks like a supermodel. Russell's like a super heavyweight. Like, it's just, I'm punching at knees, and it's just clumsy clubbering. So, hey, yeah. Whatever works. But, like, somebody like Io Shirai hasn't been on TV, because they don't know what to do. You know, it's kind of like, they don't know what to do with her. Triple H will find something to do with Io Shirai. Triple H will find something to do with, like, Ricochet and people like that. Like, my father would think. I'm assuming Ezekiel will grow his beard in a month from now. That whole, like, Elias will be back. We'll pretend that didn't happen. We don't have to play those silly sophomore games that we were playing before. Because it's like, Triple H stuff, like, that's the biggest thing. Like, it's not going to change overnight. You're not having to book something based on the whims of a 77-year-old man that's, like, has a weird touch on, like, culture and life and pop culture. And it's like, you're trying to make this old man laugh. You don't have to do that anymore.
Oh.
So just not having to do that solves a lot of things. Like, maybe we'll have somebody that can keep their first and last name. Like, why is, like, Theory is so, like, it's stupid.
Theory
isn't a name.
Some of the one-name things work okay. Theory is not on that list. Austin Theory sounds like at least a name. You know?
Yes.
And it's not that hard to get a hold of the name either. Like, I don't think it makes you more marketable. And people will end up inevitably, at least on podcasts like this and whatnot, referring to them by that last name, but the sound of it up front just is ridiculous. Like, you know, everyone remembers athletes' names, and I mean, I know that there's the whole Brazilian soccer one name thing, but for the most part,
Fred is my favorite one.
Romario is the one that got me into soccer, so I will go with that one.
I agree. Like, wrestlers, you can remember a first and last name. It's like, and they pick and choose when they want to do it. Because it's kind of like, you know, it was Antonio Cesaro, and it became Cesaro. It was Adrian Neville, then it became Neville. Norman's like, you keep your last name. Matthew Riddle the Riddle is just dumb, but it's like, whatever. But it's eerie. Like, that's Of course, that's not going to call him Austin because of, like, you're not going to confuse him with Steve Austin. But I was imagining, like, his Dean Ambrose, they start calling him Dean.
Or even just Ambrose would be weird. And it's kind of bad that my brain went to, oh, there's that one Hallmark movie that my wife watches that the cat's name is Ambrose. Oh, boy.
And that's on the same show where it's kind of like you want to call Theory Theory, but Seth Rollins' name is officially Seth freaking Rollins. So it's like when you want to be extra, you're extra. When you don't, you're bare minimum. I'm like, find a balance.
Yeah, that was one that recently, like, I know that was, that's been an edict recently. Seeing it on the marquee for SummerSlam, and I know that it is, at least since been officially taken off, but for the SummerSlam graphic, it said Seth freaking Rollins on it, and it really hit home for me in that moment.
It's just a funny thing, but it's kind of like to each their own. So, but it's like, it's stuff like that. You know, and for people who think it doesn't matter, watch SmackDown. Cole was talking like NXT UK Cole. He was talking about the IC title being the workhorse title for like work rate. You know, he was making jokes about the Jets not making the playoff. Like, he sounded like a normal person. And it's like, nobody was shouting. He didn't have an old man shouting in his ear to know what to do. And I'm like, just think about that. We've never watched wrestling where that hasn't been an issue. And the rare times it was like NXT, when it's like Michael Cole, like only on NXT when it's kind of like, you know, when they did Cruiserweight Classics and Mae Young Classics, it's kind of like, oh, these people sound like people. And I remember when Cole was doing NXT stuff, and people were like, wow, Michael Cole, great. And I'm like, yeah, he's great when they let him. But most of the time, it's like you can't say belt, you can't say strap, you can't say wrestling. Like, all that stupid stuff that you couldn't say anymore, you don't have to worry about that. That's stuff we take for granted.
And I guess I did kind of start thinking about, you're talking about only Vince McMahon's vision. I guess I did watch some WCW. It's been a long ass time though. Was that 99 that they bought WCW?
It's 2000.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been 22 years since seeing, like, well, I suppose you have AEW now.
And you had TNA. I mean, depending on how you looked at, if you want to treat. I mean, that's more like, you know, one. I mean, it was never, like, direct competition. So,
yeah.
WCW dying, you had 20 years of, like, it's just been WWE.
Well, yeah, and I guess no one's had, like, the unified vision that Vince has had. Because wasn't there multiple people, you know, running WCW at various times?
Yeah, like, it's always been, it might have been somebody at the top of the state for long, where it was like Bill Hurd, Jim Hurd, or Bill Watts, or...
Yeah.
Raw Flair or Dusty Rhodes or Bischoff or Hogan and Nash, like that's been the main difference. It's kind of like WWF has always had one voice pushing the shit for better or worse, and they've always stressed about how the buck stops here. And listen to people talk now, it's like Triple H is kind of like, I'm the man now, like I'm all listening to feedback, but I'm making the last decision. And just think about, like a year ago, Triple H wasn't there. He had, he had heart issues. He wasn't running NXT anymore. It wasn't that long ago that Stephanie McMahon had a leave of absence, and everybody was just assuming, oh, Nick Khan just assassinated the McMahon family. and they out the door. Now Stephanie is chairwoman and co-CEO. Her husband is running creative.
Yeah, like, it's one of those ones where it's like, I guess, maybe did they see this coming? Steph took some time off just to, she knew what task was ahead of her. Had a little, foresight.
I mean, she knew. She had to have known. Especially seeing how stuff came out now, it's kind of like, it's perfect where you distance yourself from that. So, none of that, like, that stuff is touching Vince, and it'll probably touch Kevin Dunn. It ain't touching nobody else, right? I mean, and it's touching John Laurinaitis. But Pritchard and Michael PSA, like, I'm gonna know about that. My name Bennett, I ain't in it. Like, they have, and I think, and I don't think that was, and I seriously thought that was by accident. I have a feeling people knew that this was coming, and plans were made, and I was, and I think what happened was, once you realize it wasn't going to blow over and stuff was going to keep coming out, the wheels went in motion.
Oh, it certainly seems like it. Like, it seems like there was, yeah, like, the timing seems a little too suspicious now. Like, it's just like, oh, well, this all kind of fits together. And, yeah, it's interesting. Like, it, because I guess that was one of those other things that it seemed a little bit strange to me, maybe even the week or two ago that it happened, but the whole Titus O'Neil beginning of Raw.
Oh, my. You know what? Oh, my God. I actually brought that up because I felt so bad for Titus O'Neil because he came out there and it's like, why is Titus starting a show? I'm like, and then he starts talking about how we don't talk, you know, we just love performing. We love the fans. I'm like, okay, yeah, that's cool. And then he starts talking about, you know, a lot of the fights that we all talk about, religion and politics and stuff like that. We just want to put smiles on faces. And the crowd was kind of like, okay. Like, they kind of heard that. And they didn't seem to be on board with that. So you brought the troops, and then they start clapping for the troops. But I'm kind of like, you bringing Titus O'Neil out there because people like him, and you got him spewing that nonsense that you did not have to spew. And I'm like, for what? Like, what audience are you talking to? Because WWE's fan base tends to be progressive more so than people think.
Yeah.
They know that. They know he's spewing nonsense, and you don't. And it's like, it is unnecessary. It's kissing Vince's ass anyway. So why was that done? Like, who was that done for?
Yeah, that was just so awkward. And it, like, in some way, the message seems a little more Stephanie / Triple H. But it also,
a Stephanie thing.
Yeah, but it's just like, well, we know that Vince was still in charge, so this seems like kind of a strange thing to be happening when Vince is running the show.
And it's a fun, not only that, like, it's a lie.
Oh, well.
Like, they do. Yeah, that's the biggest thing. It's like, it's a lie. We know it's a lie. You talk about, told, you're not pushing stuff with the, you can't have times when they'll talk about that nonsense when one of your main gimmicks is Lacey Evans getting mad talking about, I serve the country, we all love me. Like, it is like, we've been watching WWE for too long. It is basically love the troops, love it or leave it, bootstraps, and if you're not American, if you're not regular American, you will get made fun of. If you're from the South, if you're from Ireland, Mexican, like, or any stereotype that's not regular American. And we know that. And it's part of wrestling. So them coming out and saying it's like, let me see. Remember Muhammad Hassan and the un-American. Kevin Owens did a whole his whole WrestleMania thing was, I'm going to beat up somebody from Texas because they're a bunch of hillbillies. Like, that's jingoism and xenophobia is part of wrestling. Like, we accept that. So now Titus got to get lit up on Twitter for being a mouthpiece, and he had nothing to do with that. He was out there doing a job that they gave him to do, and they specifically picked him because people like Titus O'Neil and they listened to him. That's what made it worse. Using his integrity as a weapon for no damn reason.
That was one of those kind of abuse of power moments. It's just like, this is kind of cringy. Like, Titus is sitting there going, I know that I legitimately help. Like, the whole time, I'm sure he's just thinking, I know how many children I legitimately help with their aid, so I'm just going to shut up and do this thing.
Oh, my God. I was sitting there, and I was just rolling my eyes. And I was just like, what is this? What is this shit? I think I went on Twitter and like tweet like, what is this bullshit we're watching? For what?
I think I was so stunned by the situation that I didn't post anything. So I'm like, huh? Like, I was still trying to make heads or tails of what I'd just seen.
You know what? I knew something up when Titus O'Neil started the show. I'm like, why would he start a Raw?
Oh.
So the moment I saw him, I'm like, yeah, something's up. It's about to be some nonsense goes on. But that's fine. We didn't have that problem this week. We spent the first hour Raw basically bulldozing theory.
Oh. Wow, man. That was... He really got to take it from someone who gets to have multiple names and nicknames. the Tribal Chief, Roman Reigns. He's got the whole shebang of names.
And it's like, and you go through that, and it's, and somebody made a good point. That's the first time Theory looked young, like his age, because Roman Reigns dressed him down, and Theory just had this look like, I want to go to my room and get a peanut butter and jelly sandwich because I have no retort. And Madison Square Garden is a perfect place to cut that promo because, like, they, when he's talking about, you know, your daddy's not here anymore, it's like, if people had any doubt about Mr. McMahon not being there, that doubt went away because it ain't a snowball's chance in hell. He was going to get to say that under normal circumstances.
there was a limited amount of things that Triple H could do with SummerSlam less than a week away, but that was one of those things that, as you note, is it got slid through because Vince wasn't there.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, Theory didn't look any worse. Like, he got embarrassed. But he's a coward heel anyway. Like, I could easily see him cashing the briefcase. I don't want to see it because I think he sucks. But I understand that, you know, he's getting pushed for a reason. But it's the type of thing where he's a heel because no one likes him. And it's like, I can't remember the last heel that heels didn't like. No one likes him. Faces don't like him. Other heels don't like him either. I can't remember the last time there was a heel that was a university, like, even the Miz had friends.
Yeah, the Miz has friends frequently, honestly. So, not completely unlikable.
Sheamus friends, Kevin Owens had friends. Like, we've had despicable heels. JBL was an asshole, hated heel, and he had people that rolled with him. Ever since Theory's the main roster, it's like, yeah, the way is not a thing. It's just been him. And it's easy to see, like, Bobby Lashley looking down at him. It's funny, the Usos found him with every show he shows up, because they look at him like, what are you doing, little boy? And it's like, everybody's treating him like he's a...
Well, when you do tout the fact that you're the youngest champion ever, it does give people an opening to treat you like a child.
You know what's sad about that? Randy Orton used to do that. But Randy Orton came off a lot more credible because it was Randy Orton. Because he used to brag about, when I was 20-something, I won the Intercontinental Championship. What were you doing when you were 23? It was like, nothing. I was trying to find a job. But it's like, Randy Orton could go. Like, he had nepotism, but he can back it up with ring work.
Yeah.
Theory doesn't even have that option. It's like, Theory, the whole idea with Theory, like, he's getting pushed because Vince McMahon wants to push him. And he's not good enough in a ring to overcome that stigma. And Vince McMahon is not here anymore. So it's kind of like, Summer's come, Lashley's going to demolish him. I have no idea now with Reigns and Lesnar, because that Friday stuff was like left. And I have sympathy for Lesnar more after the fact than I did beforehand, because people made a big deal about, oh, how he got to leave, and it's not the same thing with us, you know, you don't have that same energy with Sasha Banks and Naomi. I'm like, of course not. So I'm not even going to worry about making that argument. My thing is, like, Brock has come out saying, you know, the ring persona you see doesn't match me. Like, I have social anxiety. It takes a lot for me to keep it together. His whole North Star for being in WWE was Vince McMahon. So he shows up, and the main person that was responsible for him being there is not there anymore. Yeah. I can see him leaving. And I can see Paul Heyman convincing him to come back. That's an easy thing. As long as professionalism and things like that, I'm like, if it was somebody else that people liked, like, I didn't have that much of an issue with it, because I got it. People was like, oh, he did that for Vince McMahon. Who cares who he did it for? He did it. That's the reason. The reason was important to him. Sasha Banks' reason was important to her. That was justified because they decided to justify it. I'm not going to get this whole compare and comparison thing about they treated her wrong, so they should have treated her. They're not going to treat Brock Lesnar with disrespect. And Brock Lesnar don't need them. So it's like, come on now, let's be adults. You can crack your jokes on Twitter, but let's be serious.
Yeah, that's one where even Triple H is like, yeah, you like print money for us, so why would I piss you off? Like, yeah, there are some things that are going to, will Brock, I mean, I don't know how you push Brock differently, you know what I mean? The guy's just got to be a killer, whether he's a babyface or a heel. Like, he's Brock Lesnar, you know? Like, the pedigree speaks for itself at this point. I mean, he's basically a maintenance-free character that pops in every now and again. Who wouldn't want that?
And also, keep in mind, he was on vacation minding his business. And he came back because they asked him because they needed him. And it's probably a specific man who asked him that. So that man's not there anymore. And my whole thing is to be like, you know, yeah, I want here. I want home. So, I mean, I came to a party because Sasha doesn't vibe me. That person I hate anymore. I don't like the rest of y'all like that. Bye. Like, and ooh, how come he can do that? Because he can. Well, you can do whatever you want when you got it like that. It's like, people mad because they can't do it like that. It's not fair. Be Brock Lesnar and then it'll be fair for you. You're not Brock Lesnar. You fight the UPS man. So, nothing wrong with that fight. Just know that you can do certain things, you can't do other things. But, I have no idea who's going to win at SummerSlam. Normally, I would say, I assume Roman Reigns will win because it's the last. And the way they're talking, I know that they don't want to have any more matches. I can easily see Brock winning and Theory cashing in, although I sincerely hope not, because I don't want Theory anywhere near the belt. But I also assume eventually we're going to have champions on Raw and SmackDown.
The unification, at least of the main championships, to me, seems to have been a failed experiment. I'm okay with Roman Reigns. Yeah, I'm okay with Roman Reigns working himself a not as heavy schedule. That kind of gives you some type of need to have a champion hang around, though, that is there.
Yeah, because it's been too many times with Raw and SmackDown where you've been having weird segments in the show. It's like, normally you have a Roman Reigns match, instead you have, like, a Liv Morgan contract signed. Or, like, you know, Lashley wrestling somebody. I'm like, I don't have a problem with that, but I'm like, this isn't normal. And they're doing it where it's kind of like, it's just a haphazard thing. They're doing it because Roman's not there. And It's kind of like they're in a funny thing where it's like, the death will probably get better. But keep in mind, Edge is coming back, but Edge isn't there. Randy Orton's not there. Roman works part-time. Brock works part-time. Lashley is over, but he's busy being U.S. champion. Who? And like Drew is basically killing time till they go overseas. So who are main events? Who are main eventers?
The list is really short. Yeah, both WWE and AEW have been hit pretty hard with the injury bug around this time. And it is not to say that I like the direction that Vince was going anyway. He certainly did not have any help of the recent time period with the injuries and, you know, people taking their time off that they were granted.
It was no favors, and like, you know, SummerSlam is this week, and at least some of those people are coming back, and you have enough matches to fulfill. It's kind of like both the men and women, because the women, like, Bayley still didn't come back. Charlotte's enjoying being married. So, and I assume Ronda Rousey wasn't going to be around. Like, wasn't going to be around. The fact that she had a rematch was surprising, because I figured she lost the belt to leave, not lose the belt to become a. Although Ronda Rousey dickhead heel is a lot more enjoyable than her pretending to be a babyface and being all awkward. So, I'm fine with that. And I just like that promo, like, yeah, you won, but let's be real. You Liv Morgan. I'm Ronda Rousey. You know how this is going to end. And I just laughed and like, yes, that's how it should be.
Yeah, I mean, that situation is what it is. They honestly even sold the cashing in fairly well. The fact that Ronda had her in an ankle lock to start with, it's like, yeah, you kind of won because of the injury. Now, if you want to tell the story that Liv gets her win finally, go for it. I don't have a problem with that. But yeah, it really does kind of put Ronda in the right with her criticism, which is quite funny. And honestly, that was one of Ronda's better promos.
Yes, because they just let her talk, and instead of trying do these robotic, I hope we move away from these robotic promos. Like, some people just need written promos because they're just dumb, and that's fine. But some people, let them talk.
Yeah, that would be a huge change overall. If, like you said, like, some people, maybe they just feel more comfortable with the written material, or, you know, to give them some type of an outline or something. I'm sure that there are plenty of people that could just, you know, run it off the cuff, or at least give you a Cliff Notes version.
Yeah. Think about how different Brock Lesnar comes off now. He's just talking. He's just being a normal human being. Just, I'm having fun. I'm talking like a normal human being. People look at him like, what happened to Brock Lesnar? Like, just because he never did it. And he, like, Lashley got over by just being himself, like, oh, badass, and y'all let me talk. And the biggest thing with Lashley before, like, he needed magic. You don't hear that anymore. You did not hear about Lashley needs a mouthpiece to get over. It's like Lashley is just fine being a badass. You're saying he's going to be a badass, and it just works. Now, somebody like Ricochet, yes. Give him a mouthpiece. Give him what, get, you know, get Marshall, get Quentin Tarantino and write him a script. Do what you need to do. Everybody's not Dusty Rhodes on the mic. But for those who can talk, let them talk. Because people who can talk, you force them to sound with scripts, it sounds dumb. You want to know the perfect example of that? Rhea Ripley. They had that woman had to go to acting school because she lost her confidence because they had her reading goofy shit. Like, let them talk. Some, a lot of those people know how to talk. Let them talk. The ones who can't, help them. But other than that, it's kind of like, and I know Triple H, no, he's watching lots of old school wrestling and know that. And NXT, when he was running, they let people talk. And even NXT now, for 75% of it, they let them talk now. Like, somebody like Bron Breakker, it's like, yeah, I don't know. He's come on like a meathead. I'm sure he read a script here and there, but that's fine. But it's like, you know, you don't need to tell, you don't need to put words in Carmelo Hayes' mouth. You know how to talk. And like, and they let, and I'm hoping they learned that lesson. And they just let, because the biggest thing that always come out in WWE is that once they let people express their personality, then they tend to shine. And Sami Zayn's on the Steve Austin Broken Skull session this week. They didn't advertise it. I just happened to turn on Peacock to watch something else, and it popped up. And he said he basically got over where, he said he got accepted more once he showed more his personality, and Vince McMahon thought it was entertaining. So it's like, do more of it. It's funny how that works.
Yeah, but you've got to find the wiggle room to do that. And yeah, God bless. I you know, I do think that they had that on the ticker at some point during Raw. But I think that's all the advertising it really got. And I was kind of interested just because Sami Zayn's quite the character. Like,
yeah. It was an interesting dynamic because it was kind of Steve Austin was flown with him, but it was kind of like it. Sami Zayn had a personality like, you know, I want to stay humble, but all the time I'll tell you how great I am. And it just felt like Stone Cold would just nudge him back every five, not in an uncomfortable way, but you could tell like Stone Cold would kind of like nudge him every 4 or 5 minutes to like keep going so the stuff went smooth. And I definitely noticed that dynamic where like they got along well, but they got along with people with like strong opinions of each other. Like Sami Zayn is has a strong opinion of himself, but he's aware that he does, so he tries us to be humble. But it's like a push pull thing, and it was like it's an interesting dynamic, and it was interesting to watch. I wasn't thinking like Sami Zayn on that. It was like you learn things about him, and he is very proud of his matchup, and he should be. He told people, like, you know, people didn't get it. They didn't get it because they were dumb. He said that straight up.
Oh, the Knoxville match?
Yeah.
Oh, man, if people didn't get that, then I feel sorry for them. That was, honestly, just one of the most entertaining matches on a WrestleMania card ever.
And like Sam, they make a good point. Like, it takes a lot of effort to pull off a match like that and have it be effective. It's like, he made it effective without having to show, like, his work. It's like, a lot of people, that's why I never liked Dolph Ziggler, because like, yeah, I'm going to show you why this match is good. It's like, no. If you're good, we're going to know. You don't have to spend all this time showing us. Like, and Sami Zayn basically brought that up, and he talked about his experiences growing up and then learning how to wrestle and how to clip the NXT, because like, when he was on NXT, when it first started, they were like, you have to, this sound is stifling. They didn't have a chance to grow, and they didn't get a chance to grow until Triple H took control, and they didn't grow. And he said one of his turning points was both Triple H and Undertaker liked one of their matches because it's like he told a story, and if everything mattered, I liked the promo, and it's kind of like he said he didn't realize at the time what Triple H meant about people are going to like your match for the wrong reasons. They're going to talk about the moves, and it's about the moves of Pereira, but it's about making the moves matter and making the story matter. That's why matches remember. He said he didn't get it when he told him, but he got it eventually. And it's a, and you hear that all the time about anybody can do moves, but if they don't have any weight, who cares?
Oh.
Like, literally, who cares?
Yeah, you definitely need story within the match to help pull things off. Like, that is one of those things that it separates the, oh, that was a fun match from that was an all-time classic kind of situations. Like, that, it, a good story kicks it up to that next level and is almost inevitably more rememberable because of it.
And like, to talk about AEW, because I've been watching it more, like, that's the difference between people like Moxley and Eddie Kingston, and then people like Young, I'm going to get in trouble, I'm going to say the Young Bucks, but I'm like, the Young Bucks are talented, I don't care about their matches, because like, it don't, they're doing great moves that look effective, it hasn't, it's just empty. Every time I watch this stuff, it's like, they're doing moves, it's cool, but it doesn't mean anything. Like, I don't care. Like, watching, like, I don't care. Like, I know they're talented. Talent has nothing to do with it. I have no emotional investment in them. I don't even like FTR, but I have emotional investment in their matches because they make me care about their matches. And I can't stand their pounding, their pandering 1986 moveset ass. I'm not a fan of that. But I care about their matches because they make me care. Eddie Kingston, like, you know, you look at like this. I'm first. I'm like, so he's the one had y'all excited, but then watching him for 5 to 10 minutes is like, he's not the type. He'll die in a ring. Like, he makes you care. John Moxley is like, you know, the rock star asshole champion works because he's like, you ain't gonna beat me. I'm tough as hell, but I'm a mangle you before you touch this belt. You gonna earn this ass whipping. And he walks in like, I'm a big deal, I respect the belt, I respect you, but I'm a beach ass. That's all I got to do. And I just love the vibe that they have. It's like, that just works. I enjoy John Moxley's champion because it just fits. Like, he's just, you know, a renegade. They make me care.
The only thing I could do without, I still don't think that song really fits him.
No. I hate that song.
I love
it is so damn much.
I love the song itself, but I just don't think it fits him at all.
I'm like, he is not Ricky Vaughn. I don't see no glasses. I'm like, it's
he doesn't.
Man, I'm just.
Yeah, he doesn't have a goofball element that maybe you think of in a Wild Thing situation. Like Ricky Vaughn had.
Yeah. That's not a tough guy song. He a tough guy. It just, it doesn't fit. And it's just like, okay, but.
I know we're stuck with it. Tony Khan paid too much for that song to not keep on using it.
Yeah, it's, but, you know, I guess we talk a little about AEW. Could we talk enough about WWE? Like, I'm looking forward to SummerSlam. So I watched that. It's funny, I guess it's going to be a arms race where it's like, oh, Triple H is booking stuff, so I can't slack anymore. So, I would just say this, that Ricky Starks whole thing was awesome. Ricky Starks is going to be a star. He definitely has the charisma. He cares enough to do it. And from having that goofy match with Danhausen, to the whole title change with Hook, to cutting the promo and getting turned on, he is going to be an amazing babyface if they get behind him. Because he has passion, he cares, and the crowd gets behind him. Hook is a rock star.
Oh.
These asshole old school fans who can't embrace that need to get out the damn way. Like, he is unique for a reason. He is, like, he has a look, he is Taz's son, and he looks like he can. The funny, like, they're not used to skinny people looking like tough guys. It's like, he might be skinny, but he look like he can fight. He carries himself like, yeah, I ain't doing all this shouting. I'm just going to beat you. I'm just going to beat you up like my daddy told me how to do.
Yeah, he does have very, I mean, yeah. You can tell that his dad trained him. It looks like almost looks like a Taz match.
But it's just weird where it's like, when Taz was doing that, like, Taz wasn't the biggest man, but Taz was a stocky man. So you can see, you know,
no.
Fire Hydrant Taz suplex over Ray Dudley because he's, like, stronger though. Hulk doing it looks like a video game. Because it's like, who's this bum? But we have a, on the same show with Claudio Castagnoli doing the same thing because Claudio a damn X-Men, so we should embrace the fact that you, if you're strong enough to do it, you can do it. And get over how, you know, like, you need to embrace the unique things you have and push that instead of trying to be WWE Lite or WCW 1999. Like, don't do that. So, it was, it's like AEW for me is a mixed bag. Like, it's things that I like, it's things I don't like. When I see John Moxley wrestle, I like that. When I see Chris Jericho do anything, I don't like that. You know, I just don't. But it's like, I know it is their purpose. But
yeah.
It's, they have so many people where it's like, even with injuries, it's kind of like, you get lost in the weeds.
And that's the one thing, yeah. to go back to your starting topic on this whole thing. That's the only thing I'm worried about with Ricky Starks. Like, I love that promo. The turn works. I kind of feel bad for Powerhouse Hobbs because if you're pushing Ricky Starks, Hobbs has taken another L. And that man has taken entirely too many L's for how large of a gentleman he is. I mean, they still, like you said, like, they have a lot of people still on the roster, and they haven't done that great of a job with them to start with. Like, what's his name? Malachi Black. There we go. I keep on forgetting his first name. Like, he's kind of been booked okay-ish. Is he really better off than he was in the WWE, even under Vince McMahon?
He, not since Cody left. No. Which is ironic. So, hey. But, like, I think about him, I think, like, Andrade, I know he's like, oh, man. What have I done?
Well, yeah, he's everyone keeps on thinking, I feel like, I felt like the thinking was Charlotte was going to head over to AEW after her contract was up. I think Andrade is just counting down the days now until he goes back to the WWE, now that Triple H is in charge.
I don't know, yeah, I don't know why people thought that. And I haven't talked, I never talked to you, maybe I'll talk to you about it, but it's like a good talking point. What if AEW had a market inefficiency to exploit when they had, like, a certain body types that WWE wouldn't push, or a certain character they wouldn't push, so they can go to AEW and thrive? When it comes to the women, if you're a legacy woman in WWE, you're not going to AEW. Period. And I've thought about that for a long time. It definitely something with the Bellas when I watched their body, which one, it's like, it's, boy, they went through hell before we even started wrestling. Like, I did not know some of the stuff they went through. Oh. Both of them. And it's just kind of like, they made a big effort. Like, you know, they I wanted to wrestle. And y'all want me to be eye candy. Fuck that. I want to learn how to wrestle. And also, like, Natalya's going to be in the Hall of Fame. Because I have never heard anyone say a bad, like, every woman has said she has helped them in their career. So, you kind of put that for me, like,
oh, yeah, I will still 100% make fun of Natalya for her roboticness in the ring, and even with promos pretty much to this day. She wouldn't have been around the WWE for as long as she was if there weren't some reasons.
About 15, 16 years.
Yeah.
Think it, about that. She was wrestling since, like, what, 2008?
It's that one I'm interested in to see when she started on.
I think it's like 2007 or 2008. Cause I remember looking it up before. Cause I think we had a conversation about it, and we was like, "Damn, she's been doing it for a long time." Matter of fact, I'm gonna look it up right now. So she debuted on the main roster.
Oh yeah,
2008.
Hey, Jesus. Yeah.
It's 2022. Women normally don't last that long. And it's like, you know, her and Tamina is like carrying a thing. And I will say that Natalya won me over with F.U. and Ronda Rousey, because she was I was like, yeah, they need to get them away from her. Like, Ronda Rousey's coming off horrible, both promo wise and especially on Twitter. I'm like, good lord. I was like, Natty, leave her. Like, she is dead. Stop killing the body. Like, and it's just funny how certain things don't translate unless they let them. It's like, Natalya can be funny if they let her, but most of the time they don't let her, so she comes off as a robot. But anyway, back to the point, one thing about the women is kind of like, Trish Stratus would never be in AEW. Lita would never go to AEW. Like, if you're a big deal as a woman, you're not going to, for the most part, you're not going to go to AEW if you're a legend. Because it's like, I can always be a WWE legend and get that money. So even if it's somebody like Kelly, could you picture Kelly popping up and hearing this, you know, Jim Ross talk about her in AEW? No. Eve Torres? No. Either they're going to show up in WWE or they're not showing up. And none of the big stars, like, you know, Sasha, it's a better chance now that Sasha Banks will pop up in SummerSlam with Naomi than then pop up in AEW. Because, like, if she ain't wrestling WWE, she either going to do indies or she just going to be working in Hollywood. She's not going to eat them.
Yeah, that's definitely one that with the changeover, I would be pretty shocked if we don't see Naomi and Sasha back sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and it's just funny how that whole thing went down. It's kind of like, you know what? There's a lot of that whole situation was weird, and how it was handled was weird. Where it's kind of like, somebody knew, like we talk, Stephanie knew something. If anybody knew, Stephanie would have had to know. And it was like that whole time, it was kind of like they went away. They didn't do anything with the belts. They just left the belts alone, and she's taking it, like, you know, so she's using her real name and taking indie bookings. I'm sure she had a lot of money doing appearances and making indie stuff. But she had to, like, at the same time, the main person that was giving her problems gone. Triple H knows the work for Sasha Banks. That's one of his babies, basically. And he is very protective of the people he trained. There's nothing stopping him from picking up a phone call on both of them. Like, you know what? That old man was fucking with y'all. I know what y'all can do.
Oh.
And I laugh about that because NXT, Medusa shows up and is like, take that belt out the trash. We're going, like, this tag team belts, we're going to fight them. We're going to fight for them. I'm kind of like, the irony of that. It's like, that's something weird. You have to be a certain age for that joke to make sense, but we're at that different demographic age. And I watched that and started laughing. I was like, of course they would do something like that.
Yeah, that was killing me. Jeremy and I were recording the other podcast. I'm just like, is that Medusa? And I'm like, well, I guess Alundra Blaze, since she's in the WWE. But I'm like, really? Like, that's who they brought back for the segment? And I did fully watch it in between then and now to actually hear the promo. I'm just like, wow, they are going there, huh?
I mean, she comes out, and we know the history, and they know that we know. So it's like, why else would she be there? Well, kind of like the fact that they did it is just NXT is living this universe where it's like they're aware of what we go on. Like, Wade Barrett knows about what's you know, on Twitter. and he will let us know. And I still laugh. He's talking about, yeah, y'all here to see the thirst traps of the Keita Lions. It's like, they already know why we're watching her. And just in case there was any doubt, Wade Barrett let us know. Like, y'all should be ashamed of yourselves out here just watching for thirst traps grow up.
Wade Barrett, I think, probably second favorite announcer in the WWE currently. I'm still going to go with Pat McAfee for number one, but
yeah, I would agree with that. I love Wade because it's kind of like Wade Barrett is this so modern, and you wouldn't think he is. It's this whole, like, you know, you think it's like this stodgy British dude. It's like, he's down, you know, he's not trying to be cool, but he's cool. But it's the way where it's endearing when it can easily be cringy, but it's not, because, like, he was just goofy. But he way better so he can get away with it. And it's just hilarious. And him and Joseph get along just fine. Like, they have an easy rapport. It's not, you know, it just works. And yeah, Pat McAfee is, boy, they lucked out with Pat McAfee. Like, somebody that damn talented that wants to do it. And it's like, besides revitalizing Cole, we're like, people forget, Pat McAfee was a Pro Bowl punter that left in his prime to do, what, Barstool Sports.
Yep.
I want to do something else. And people looked at him like he was insane. And then went to WWE, was an awesome manager that could also wrestle in the ring. And then it's like, I'm the best color man on WWE since King in his prime. And I'm like, and he can wrestle and be believable to wrestle? I'm like, damn, a unicorn. Pat McAfee can be basically doing whatever he wants. And he decided, like, I want to do WWE. And I'm going to brace it. Logan Paul is like, I'm a wrestle. He don't need to wrestle. Like, he literally can be doing, like, it amazes. And people don't realize, like, y'all take stuff like that for granted. Like, Bad Bunny showed up at the Royal Rumble because he loves wrestling.
That is one where, even today, was he doing a Cheetos commercial? I want to say, I'm like, Bad Bunny has been everywhere since that WrestleMania appearance. He was in the Corona commercials. He's been in Cheetos commercials. I know that he's been in another set of commercials. I'm like, that man has been everywhere. And it still kills me. Like, it does make me laugh with Logan Paul. The guy has, what is it, 20 million YouTube followers? I want to say.
Yeah, like him and his brother are extremely famous and are.
There isn't even a million of those people that follow wrestling. Like, it is the funniest thing. Like, they are obviously popular. You know,
and it's like he chose it, and he's natural. Yeah. I mean, the weird thing with him is he's a natural heel, and it's a heel feuding with a heel. And at least they acknowledge it. But he's like, you know what? I don't really like you, but I dislike the Miz more. Like, they understand that Logan Paul is not a natural baby face, but it's like they hear, okay, people don't like Logan Paul, but they dislike the Miz more. And I'm like, that's going to work in some places, and other places that's not going to work. And I just wonder how that dynamic is going to go. But at least they're aware of that dynamic. They're not under any illusions about that.
Oh,
but Normandy would be.
Yeah, that's it's kind of been a little bit of an awkward feud. You knew that that was coming though from the setup. Like, Logan Paul didn't get the what's the Miz's finisher? Skull Crushing Finale. At WrestleMania, like, that just seemed like an automatic. It was definitely going to be a second match, like. Yeah, you don't leave things that way and not have him come back.
Exactly. So, it's the fact that they have him.
Oh.
It's just amazing.
Yeah, it is wild.
Like, wrestling's But, you know, like wrestling is the fact that if somebody would have told you 3 years ago, you go on ESPN and on the main page, Paul Triple H Levesque, head of creative, right underneath like a Mike Trout injury. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, this is, I know ESPN has been doing this for a while, but this is absurd. I hear about Brittany Griner stuck in Russia. I hear about Kevin Durant from our trade. And now I hear about Triple H being head of creative. ESPN is actually saying that's the person in charge of storylines and wrestling background. I'm reading this. I'm like, all of this is true. I'm reading this on ESPN. It's really like it's just a normal sports story. And I'm like, if somebody told you this 5 years ago, you'd be like, what the hell are you talking about?
It really hit me when I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to make a living out of this, this whole wrestling podcast thing. When, I'm like, why am I seeing articles from Forbes pop up about wrestling? Like, this is, what world am I in currently?
Because people point out, like, wrestling seems like it's more in the mainstream than this has been in a while, but less people watch it.
Oh,
it's just a funny thing. Less people watch wrestling than they used to watch, but they treat it like a big deal. Like, people are fighting for WrestleMania because it's like getting money. Like, people still spending money on wrestling. Like, wrestlers are still, if you reach a certain point, you are popular. People realize Bianca Belair has become popular in like mainstream culture. And it's kind of like you don't have a way of judging it because you don't think about it. Like, it's like, I watched Billions and Becky Lynch showed up as Becky Lynch talking about why wrestling is important. Like, you know, the part of being a heel is like you got to sell for the person. It's part of a teamwork. And if I don't do my job, we both look bad. And it was part of a storyline on Billions. And I'm watching this and I'm like, Billions is a show, like on the Showtime's flagship shows.
Oh.
Becky Lynch just showed up as herself talking about the important, the intricacies of selling and wrestling. And I'm like, this is the universe we live in. And it's, you know, they had matches that Rolling Loud. I'm sure those fans had no idea what's going on, because imagine he was there, you know, listen to Cardi B. And then you have a match with Carmella, Bianca Belair. Who from WWE thought about that? How did they swing that? And it's kind of like, I know that's an important thing. I'm just amazed that someone from WWE was like, yeah, we should do that. Because WWE is known without forward thinking like that.
Yeah, that was another one of those moments that, I feel like, smells more of a, Stephanie touch to branch out to other avenues here. That does not still, that never felt like a Vince thing. Maybe it was, but it feels more like a Stephanie.
I'm sure Rich Man never, I'm sure Rich Man never heard, has no idea what Rolling Loud is.
Yeah,
I wouldn't blame him because that is not his demographic. But as we have talked about before, where wrestling spread out as far as what demographics have and what they can do, and especially like Triple H, you can say what you want. Like, he is forward thinking about his whole, you know, he likes athletes, he likes the indies. And I know people got on the WWE because they said, oh, they're not going to sign indie people anymore. And my retort is, how many indie people are left? Between WWE and AEW, it's like they snatched them all up. Like, it's not a lot. That class of ROH and CZW, that's done. That new class is like coming up, but like, it's not a lot of people where that's around that they could sign.
Impact is the only one that's really left. Is kind of like, maybe MLW, I guess you could consider some type of a mid-size wrestling company.
Yes, But beyond that, yeah, beyond that, it's kind of like you either get him extremely young or you gotta train him yourself. Although I laugh like Triple H is, you know, golden goose is getting Okada. Okada is not coming to the United States. He's about to marry, like, you know, one of Japan's most famous people. He enjoys being Okada. Although I would say never say never, just the fact that, who knows, I can see him showing up 2 years from now at WrestleMania. They just drop $1 million in SoFi Stadium just so we can just look stupid.
Yeah, I'm not gonna call that impossible. I guess I don't know who he's marrying there in Japan.
One of the grandeur models they have, she's very famous.
No.
Like, oh, yes. So, oh, yeah, that's the whole thing.
God bless.
You reach a certain level of fame in Japan wrestling, you can be a damn senator. You can join, be like a politician. So, that's a funny thing. But, hey, Jesse Ventura is a governor. Kane is a mayor. So, I guess we do have precedence here.
Yeah. Yep. unfortunately, fortunately, but, whatever.
True, yeah. But I laugh at the fact, like, of course Triple H would want Okada. It's the type of man Triple H is. But just the this, we're going to hear stories like that. And we will get more athletes. Not just like, you know, young athletes, but like established athletes. But like UFC, you know, UFC people. I saw Dwight Howard joking around, cutting a promo somewhere in like a WWE ring. You're going to get stuff like that. You're going to get more.
Good gravy. That mutant in a ring would be crazy.
If you don't realize, like, it's a difference between WWE tall and tall, tall. As we learn, when Shaq, every time Shaq's in the ring with the Big Show, it's like, oh, yeah, Shaq is tall. Like, Big Show ain't, you know, Big Show is not 7'4", whatever the hell they said he is.
Yeah, I feel like they adjusted his height down after that whole Shaquille O'Neal thing.
But it's just a, you know, the funny thing. Didn't he show, what was it, the Andre? Yeah, it was the Andre Battle Royal. Shaq just showed up 1 year.
Uh-oh. Yeah, I mean, Shaq
like two,
is...
like 2 or 3 years ago.
Man's quite a wrestling fan.
It's amazing, like, who is wrestling for. Like, all right, I still have AEW, like, a little scrappy showing up every... No, Jermaine Dupri coming down with Jay Cargill just had me laugh my ass off, because I'm like, one, it's Atlanta, so it fits. But I'm like, old ass Jermaine Dupri hanging with Stokely Hathaway talking about the baddie section just had me laughing in a way where it's like, both WWE and AEW is us embracing celebrity in a way that wrestling was not doing like 10 years ago.
Oh. Yeah, and it's kind of weird just because those early WrestleManias obviously had celebrities involved pretty frequently for a lot of different roles. I mean, who forgets the Bob Uecker stuff, honestly?
I mean, yeah. And it's a funny thing where they did it, and then it just stopped, and then they did it again. But I think now it's kind of like, yeah, the bar is like, you can't half-ass anymore. Where it's like, you see Johnny Knoxville out here taking bumps and like building a whole program for like months, and you see Logan Paul and Bad Bunny. It's like, the bar has been raised. You can't just be like Mickey Rourke, come out here and throw a punch and think that's going to cut it.
Yeah, everyone pretty much across the board has really busted their ass to look good. I don't know if that started with Pat McAfee necessarily, but that is definitely one that is coming off the brain as one of the earlier ones for me.
Machine Gun Kelly showed up to Raw to get powerbombed able by Kevin Owens. I have no idea why he agreed to do that. And I had forgot about it until he came up on a recap show, and I'm like, at the end of the day, a lot of us were wrestling fans as children, and we never let go. podcast about wrestling. I've been watching wrestling since I was like six. So it is no hobby I've had long in watching wrestling. None. I started watching wrestling before I started watching sports, other sports.
My wrestling sabbatical was not terribly long. So I think sports wins out in the totals category. But yeah.
Oh, yeah, if it comes to totals, I've had some gaps. Like, I definitely took off a few years right before the Attitude Era. And it's definitely a gap where I'll stop watching WWE. I just don't remember. I think from like 2003 to like 5 or 6, like it's a lot of stuff that happened. I don't remember, but to be perfectly honest, between 2003 and like 2009, there's a lot of stuff. I don't know what I was going through prior school. There's a lot of stuff I do not remember. I don't know it or not. I feel like Memento. Like I think I did, but don't ask me any details. But before 2003 and after like 2008, 2009, I remember. But that gap time, like the Triple H and Charger Raw fighting Scott Steiner and Bubba Ray Dudley and Goldberg, I was not watching that crap at all. So do not ask about that time frame. Like it's a lot of times I wasn't watching, but you know, I watch regularly now. Like I've basically been watching WWE since whenever I started giving AEW a chance. I stopped giving Impact a chance. Like, they burned me 3 times. After the third time, like, the first time was, I think, when Monty Brown got screwed. Oh. Topo was the second time. And I think either Hogan or Bully Ray, it was something like the third time. It was something involving that. Like, Ace of Ace or something. I'm like, what? I'm done. I forgot what the details were. It was something involving Ace of Ace and Hulk Hogan on TNA.
Oof, that's that a while ago.
I didn't give him a chance. Yeah. And the last time I gave him a chance was, you know, we did the show with 4 people. Matt Hardy had the drones and all that nonsense. And I'm like, and I remember watching that, and as I called a Chinese Undertaker, they were fighting in hell with Kara Hogan. And I'm like, because I remember, I guess we can wrap up. It was a big deal in Impact Wrestling when they wrote off some of the character and they write them off like they got murdered.
Oh.
Like they had his rope slit. And I remember we did this show about that. I'm like, look, you want to write somebody off, that's a hell of a way to write them off. Like they're not coming back dead. That's like to leave town. Town equals the land of the living. Like that's, you don't get more definite than that.
Well, just like poor Two Dimes recently had to go sleep with the fishes.
Oh my god! I laugh because I heard the story about him getting fired, and he was still on NXT for a few more weeks, and he vanished. Like. That whole D'Angelo thing is just hilarious, where it's like they're making it work, and it has no business working, and they just doing whatever they need to do to make it work.
It's been a real because I think we talked pretty early on. I'm just like, oh my god, this is such a mook gimmick. Like, that was the most Guido of Guido gimmicks. And, but, I mean, they kind of kept going with it. And they're just like, nah, screw it. We're going to double down on this weird 1950s gangster theme. And it's just like, okay. You know, like, if that's what you're going with, then I suppose just, you know, go for it, you know?
Electra Lopez increased the Prodigal in the Black movement by 8%. I'm like, what? How? I don't even want to know. It's probably that's very offensive. And the other two just being cool, like Santos got jumped. They were mad for a week, like, oh, like, you know, business keep on moving. We gotta keep moving. Like, and NXT is just in this weird universe where it's like, you just gotta accept the rules. Because Chase Universe, Joe Gacy, and Tony D'Angelo all exist in that same universe. Does it make sense? No. Does Sarai make sense where she's basically a Power Ranger? No. It does not make sense. They do it anyway.
Like
we all know what Fabian Aichner looked like, and then all of a sudden he's like, no, I cut my hair, I went to Joseph A. Bank, and now I'm rich, and I got a grease scalp, and a wristband. I'm like, okay, at least A Kid is a goofy name, so we'll turn into a math superhero? Like, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I would say about this about NXT, I will give them a chance. And one thing about this are they are off the wall, but when they embrace them, they embrace them. And I give them kudos to that. Like, they do not have ass. Sometimes they shouldn't do them at all, but they do them.
Yeah, I mean,
my favorite one. Yeah, my favorite one is I'll probably change the name. Kay Carter, Katana Chance. We like partying, taking ecstasy, and having sex, and then we wrestle. That's the gimmick. We go to parties with house music. And electronic dance music, and then we wrestle when we're not dancing. Why? They had a whole character. We knew who they were, and they're like, you know what? No, we like having fun, and like a specific type of fun.
Oh, well, and I do love how they leave it more of a fun thing, and they don't. Like, they allude to the whole drugs part, but don't really say it straight up.
We just living our lives. I'm like,
okay.
On what? I've been on one or two of those parties. Only one or two, because they have the type of fun I can't have anymore. We know what's going on, and we see the promos, the gimmicks that we're doing, but it's like, well, we can't say they're basically taking party drugs. But we just go basically allude to it. But hey, that's a show where Kaylee Ray was UK champion for like 2 years, and then like, you know what? That character's gone. I'm running around with his hitting with a bat. That's my new gimmick. I am insane. Yeah, I was champion, but so what? I'm starting over. Deal with it. And all the women making fun of it until she hit him in the head with a bat. Like, she's walking around hitting people with, she is a baby face walking around hitting people in the back like she's Sting. And we just like, yeah, that's the next thing.
Well, I mean, Drew is trying to chop people's heads off with a sword on the main roster. To be fair.
Yeah, how did it? Why did he get to walk around with a sword?
Multiple people have pointed out how dangerous it is, and considering that he has now cut the top ropes twice within a pretty short time period, honestly, 2, maybe 3 months at most, I think it's time to stop bringing a sword to the ring.
Like, he cut Sheamus' club in half. Like, Sheamus is minding his business. I'm like, Drew McIntyre, like, I thought it was cute. My Drew McIntyre walking around with a damn sword and threatening people with it. Like, this, what's up? Why also on the show with a gun? Like, why don't we just do that again? Although we go on, you know, I guess TV-14. Did y'all talk about that?
No, and that's one of those ones that's kind of another one of those offshoot topics of, I feel like that got leaked, and then people are like, no, the WWE isn't doing that. And I'm like, hold on, was this a something that Stephanie and Triple H had in mind that kind of got pushed before out into the news cycle before it's supposed to?
It had to be, because it's like, that's such a specific thing. That's not something that's random. It's like, yeah, we're doing TV-14. You don't just randomly, like, guess that. That's a specific choice, and that's, like, that choice with consequence. And people making fun of, like, you know, one, they kind of borderline anyway, and two, it's like, I'm like, I like cussing. We watch R-rated movies. Like, nobody want to watch Die Hard on TBS when they weren't cursing. Like, everybody cuss now. And cussing doesn't make things better, but it's like, just by itself, like, we're adults. I remember a time when you had to watch premium cable, I guess we can rival with this, like HBO or Stars, for people not being censored. And then FX, like AMC would let some of them care in there. Then FX After 9 is a big deal when they start using, you know, fuck on FX. When it happened on ESPN, I'm like, yeah, we're grown now. They curse on ESPN. They never curse on ESPN. They curse it. So now you watch FX, it's like watching HBO. I watch an old man, it cuts up a storm. No big deal. Oh. 7-8 years ago, they weren't doing that. So we watch wrestling, and I know, like, Adam, why gotta be Adam Page if you're the only person that gets to say shit? Let everybody say it. We adults. Like, you know, Dynamite and Rampage not coming on at noon.
Oh.
You know, like, Eric.
Yeah.
You know, every now and then, like, you know, last year was let one leak. Everybody, like, let them. You don't have to be gratuitous. They're adults. Let them be adults. The kids will be okay because they have heard worse anyway. So if you worry about the kids, far my life, but fuck the kids. They grown. You bringing them to wrestling. If you bringing them to TV shows that start 7 Central, 8 Eastern, then they ain't grown folks' land. Then. That's all that.
I will say that I definitely learned some lessons, not necessarily going to wrestling, but going to sports events. Didn't know what a drunk guy was until going to a sports event. Did not know what pot smelled like until going to a sports event. You go to a large event, shit's gonna happen.
Yes. And it just is what it is. And people, like, making this thing about, oh, you want to go? I'm like, if you listen to some of that stuff, it's like, I forgot how childish it sounded. Like, I listen to some old John Cena stuff, and I'm like, yeah, none of that will fly now. None of his Dr. Thugonomic stuff would fly at all. And I forgot how just raunchy and disgusting it was. It just, like, it was funny, but I'm like, it seemed childish then. And that was, like, what, 12 years ago? Damn, I feel old as hell to say that. 13 years ago. The Rock, that Rock concert, like, the Cleveland Rocks, good lord. If he ever run for... Yeah, Rock ain't running for president. Like, also, I just run that promo back and, like, no. You forget, like, the Rock was horrible. It was like, he just basically calling, see that transgender bozo. Talking about he nuts.
I was just playing my part.
Laughing like, ha. Yeah. Ha, ha, ha. See the one on a rectal exam because it's funny. Because he ain't got balls. Ah. And we were laughing. And this thing on now is like, damn, we are kids. We just childish and children. But that's what we want. Yes, I want to see TV 14. I want to see, like, we don't got to do hot lesbian. We don't got to do HLA. We don't got to be, like, what's this aggression era? Who can call it, like,
no.
Come guzzling gutter slits. Like, yeah. Oh, I got yeah, shivers. Just think about that.
Like, yeah.
Talk about the attitude era. The ruthless aggression era was way worse.
Well, yeah. The present product, especially for the WWE, they just need a little more wiggle room. Like you said, like I'm okay with hearing that stuff. I don't need to hear it in every promo. I don't necessarily need to hear it every week. But there are definitely times where, you already mentioned it earlier in the podcast. The suffer and succotash line is just like, oh my god. Like, What is going on here, guys?
Who thought that was a good idea? Roman in the beanstalk. It's like, they already let somebody have Sheamus saying that goofy shit, and they turned on him as like, it's, or when Cena was doing it, like, they, that's the thing. They know what makes stars. And somebody wrote that and thought that was the thing to do. And I'm like, I sincerely hope we don't have something like that anymore. And I know Kevin Dunn isn't gone yet, but when that rat-faced bastard leaves, I will be very happy. Him, Chicky Cam, is Becky Lynch too ugly to be a champ? I'm like, you look like you eat undersea fiber optic cables with your mouth. I do not want to hear your beauty standards opinion at all. You look like a damn monster, Kevin Dunn, and you suck.
And
yeah, Shaky Cam suck. You don't know how to shoot the show, and you are a damn dinosaur, and you need to go.
I'm still trying to
go somewhere else.
Wrap my head around the fact that someone does not think that Becky Lynch is attractive.
That's the thing. Most of the people in WWE, particularly the women, all look attractive in one way or another. Becky Lynch is drop dead gorgeous. And you talking about her? I don't know if she's like, are you insane? You should have got, and people say that's not a big deal because we got all beauty. So I'm like, his standards are important. Like, if you don't think you look like a champion, you're not getting TV time. That's not a big damn deal. A person in charge of that is a fucking lunatic. And that's what Kevin Dunn sounded like, goofy shit like that.
It sounds like he doesn't have eyeballs. That is concerning. But yeah.
And I'm like, that's still rest my, I can't wrap my head around that. But
yeah,
I'm glad that's the win. And shout out to Seth Rollins. You can dress like Michael Jackson off the wall here and still give a stop and be credible. That takes talent.
Oh man. Yep, her and the hubby are still their tailor is getting a workout and I'm assuming getting paid handsomely to do so.
There was a woman doing a, she was on Twitter doing a thread for, was it Money in the Bank pay-per-view? And she was like, why? She referred to Becky Lynch's David, like, why is David Bowie out there hitting people with a ladder? Oh, Becky Lynch.
Yeah.
And then called Seth Rollins, Ellen John. And I'm like, yeah, they married to each other. That daughter is like, what? And it's the fact that imagine watching Seth Rollins in the Shield and Becky Lynch doing her little steampunk thing, and they're sticking, they just going to dress up as, like, you know, glam villains. And just be like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's how you can't predict wrestling. You can't.
Wrestling is a strange, strange world.
Because I'm watching, and it's like, yeah, I'm watching this woman just like David Bowie wrestle a black ninja, which is basically Bianca Belair. And somehow it just makes sense. And meanwhile, Asuka out there just being the damn Joker to Batman, just spitting shit in her fist, messing with her for no damn reason because it's fun. And she had a baby face. How's she a baby face? She a menace. She keep calling her a babe. She make fun of her on Twitter. She call her a whiny bitch. You need to go home so you can be a baby with your baby and stop crying. Like, she don't even care about the title. She just wanted to just bother Becky Lynch because it was fun. Interrupting her matches, spitting in her face. Is she a hero?
Yeah, it's wrestling. Yet again, strange place.
But,
yeah.
The people that, like, we've been talking long enough to give the people our information.
Well, Beltane beer for tonight. For some reason, my younger brother gave me a 2021 edition Project Happy Whole Days Sheets Donut Ale. So, being from the western part of Pennsylvania, I am a Sheets man. I'm sure you're a Wawa man. But this weird beer yes. was brewed with Sheets Donut Holes. Gotta say, a little bit sweet for my taste. It's okay, but you definitely get that sugary donutness coming through in this beer, strangely enough. So if you're kind of into donuts, go for it. I do not get a whole lot of donuts. I enjoy them when I do, but yeah, I don't like it in beer form. So that is
the. You want a shot of the diabetes?
Well, I don't know. Well, yeah, it's brewed with sugar, so yeah, pretty much any beer is pretty much diabetes in a can. You know, you need something for the yeast to ferment with. Come on, it's sugar. Let's go. Yeah, Belltime Beer from at DeFrango 11. That is at Philly Drugs. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations. Whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or Google. Shahid, send it out like a professional.
For Kevin DeFrango, I'm Shahid Abdulhadi. Your daddy ain't here anymore to protect you if you listen to this podcast. We are out.